Hi.
What's up, guys?
What's up is that my house is currently an infirmary.
Poor Carly has been in it all day.
My dog had to go to the emergency vet and she's okay, but she's on medication and it is fucking her tummy up. And my home has become a terrifying sight to see. And honestly, the smells are overwhelmingly shocking.
That's so horrible.
It's gnarly.
It's so horrible.
Casey went and bought candles to bring over here before we recorded because she was like, I need to light candles in that place.
I just needed to stock her up on some good candles. And it honestly helped, but it's just we need to get her through this hump and then we're going to do a deep clean and we'll be good to go. Poor baby. She's really sick. I feel bad for her.
She is. So if you hear her crying at any point throughout this episode, honestly, I'm sorry.
Just give us a break.
Yeah.
We've been a long day. We have an ailing dog over here. Okay. But on another note, what are we going to talk about today, Carly?
What are we going to talk about today? We were thinking of talking about girl code. I actually kind of had an experience this weekend that really plays into this.
Tell us, what was the experience?
Well, so I was confronted with a situation where I was potentially going to see someone getting cheated on. And I was talking to my friend about it and I was just saying, what would I do if I witnessed that? Like, would I go tell her that I just saw her get cheated on? Mind you, she and I are not close at all. Like, it's not like this is like my best friend or even a close friend. So end of the day, it's a girl I don't know well, but I know she's really, really invested in her relationship. And then I see this guy with another girl and I'm not sure who this other girl is. So I'm having all these thoughts in my head like, oh my God, is this happening in front of my eyes? And what the fuck do you do in that situation? And I have thought to myself so many times, like, what do you do if you know someone's getting cheated on? Or imagine you're single and you hook up with someone who you believe is single, but they're actually in a relationship or they're married or something.
Dude, that's such a
nightmare. Do you tell that person? You know, so like there are so many different versions of this scenario. But when is it appropriate to cross that boundary and share what you know with somebody? Is it your responsibility to do that?
Mm-hmm.
I just think about this type of stuff a lot. And this weekend I was thinking to myself, oh my God, am I about to be the person that's in that situation? And what would I do? And my friend was like, you would do nothing because you barely know this person and it's not your business. Stay in your lane.
Yeah.
And I respected that. But I also was like, the guilty conscience that I would have walking around knowing this and knowing that this girl's so invested in her man and her man is just lying to her face.
So my answer to what you just told me is stay in your lane. If you don't know the girl
in
well.
In every single scenario?
No. I'm saying in a scenario where you don't know either party very well, but especially if you don't know the girl very well. I don't know. I think there's just a magic of staying in your lane in life sometimes.
Yeah.
And not involving yourself in other people's lives unsolicited, kind of. Like,
yeah.
It gets trickier if that person came to you and said, hey, I'm kind of worried that my man is cheating on me.
Then you have to say something. Are you kidding?
I know.
If someone asks you directly.
And listen, I don't fully disagree. I agree with you. I mean, listen, of course, my friends, it's just if it's someone that I'm just friendly with and like I don't know them, I'm like, I don't want to be involved in your shit. But at the same time, I don't really lie about stuff. So the thought of having someone come to me and ask me like, hey, have you seen anything or whatever? And then me lie, that would make me feel like complicit in it, like almost like I was now part of the betrayal. You know what I mean?
100%. And when I was talking to my friend about it, he was like, it's going to come, it's going to be unearthed somehow on its own without you. And I was like, but what if I'm the unearthing? And he was like, no.
No. Yeah, no, I'm... You got outnumbered. It's 2-1. You're not saying anything.
I'm not even necessarily on my own side. I'm on your side. I was just saying there's a dilemma there. There's a moral dilemma.
100%. I understand that internally there's a moral dilemma, but yeah. I don't think there's any external dilemma of like, should I message this chick or something?
No, and I've never done anything like that in my life. So I'm not even saying I would have. I was just saying what an awkward, uncomfortable, hurtful situation to even be on the fringe of. I would not even want to know about that.
Yeah.
I would rather be ignorant. But no, if it were a close friend or obviously one of my sisters, but...
Oh yeah, you're getting called immediately.
Yeah.
If I see some shit.
Yeah.
I don't give a shit.
I know. And a lot of people take the position where they're like, even with a friend, I don't think I would say anything. And I think that the reasoning that I've heard from a lot of people on that is it puts you in a situation to potentially be on really unstable ground with your friend if your friend decides to stay with that person anyways and in any way, shape, or form takes anything out on you or blames you, or not even necessarily blames you, but there's kind of like an Xing out of somebody.
Yeah. You're now
just
a player.
To not deal with the discomfort mm-hmm. of what that person knows and whatever feelings you're working through in deciding that you're going to stay with your partner who has, you know, hurt you like that. So it is a tricky situation because it's like that with anything in friendship, though. Anytime you're going to talk to a friend about, especially their partner, you have to tread so lightly because at the end of the day, they're going to choose their partner over you.
Well, and that's the tricky thing is that once you're a player in an equation and your friend decides like, you know what, I want to work through this with this person, which is a totally viable option, you know, circumstantially. But unfortunately, especially if it gets back to the partner that you outed them on
yeah.
cheating, then
and it will
100%. And then you're in this situation where you're like, well, I just have my dick on the table. And like now I'm kind of being demonized, even though my friend is, you know, hopefully trying not to do that. But their partner obviously is going to be like, yeah, fuck you.
Yeah.
To a certain extent, even if they're super.
Unless they're really accountable.
Yeah.
But still, that's yeah. rare, I think.
Yeah. I mean, in the beginning, at least they're going to like, it sucks to get caught.
Yeah.
In a situation like that. You should get caught. I hope you get caught. But yeah. it probably doesn't feel good to get caught, you know. But yeah, it ultimately becomes a situation where one's got to go.
Yeah.
And if your man's not going to go, you're probably going to give you
or everyone has to be extremely mature, which is more rare. So the position on that is really you don't say anything unless you have a really close relationship with that person where it would feel like a major betrayal if you were not sharing that information. And even still, some people are going to decide that that's ultimately not what would be best for their friendship.
Mm-hmm.
Because you really are risking something. You're risking potentially losing a friendship if it somehow backfires on you. I would still say something though. I would risk it for the biscuit.
Yeah. Well, I would be super, I guess I think about it in terms of like how bummed I would be if someone didn't say something to me.
Yeah. Oh my, I would just feel so embarrassed that yeah. people, that my close people knew and didn't say anything.
Yeah, I agree.
And there, hurt. There are,
there's a certain like level of person in my life that if you didn't say something, I would be bummed and more mad at you for not saying something than
and just lack trust.
Yeah, I agree.
Okay, so that's one aspect of the girl code that we're trying to unravel.
Girl code, but also
that's kind of just friend code.
Yeah, word.
Okay, I feel like this is the most straightforward girl code concept.
Hit me.
What are the boundaries of dating someone your friend has mingled with before? For me, it's an all no. For me, there's like nothing. There's no level. Even if you've just flirted before, I'm not doing that. But yeah. I think I'm like an extreme case.
Yeah, I don't. I just feel like there's too many wires crossed there.
Yeah, and I don't want to take the risk of anyone ever getting their feelings really hurt.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, but there are almost zero men on planet Earth that are going to be worth that for me. Like, I can't.
So this is what I'll say about this. Carly and I have a no tolerance policy for this. Like there's no 0% hopping back and forth. Like if one person has even entertained for 15 minutes, somebody.
No.
It's a no,
I find
no
that
tolerance
so
policy.
So creepy. Between sisters, that's another level of creepy.
Oh, but they try it.
Boy. Well, I'm aware, but I'm just saying with us, if we were to do that, that's like a different level of weird as fuck.
But some,
in my opinion,
some sisters do that, like make out with the same dudes and shit.
Okay. Well, I'm not going to judge them. I'm just saying to me, that would be.
Yeah, no,
that would be. I don't even have the word for it. That would be so yucky to me.
That's a no tolerance. We have a zero tolerance policy in
no.
our relationship.
Yes.
For that kind of behavior. And.
No. It's out of respect for each other, though. Like, our friendship, our sisterhood, our relationship is the top priority to maintain respect and trust at all times between us.
My dog is ripping ass right now. Oh, my God. I literally am tasting it.
I feel so bad for her. She is not well.
She's down so bad, you guys. Like, this dog is in the trenches right now.
When she's down bad, that means I'm down bad.
Curly is down so bad right now.
Oh my goodness. But yeah, for me, that's a very strong, firm boundary. I'm the same with friends, though. It's not just with Casey. We're talking about ourselves right now, like our personal relationship, but I'm the same way with friends. I got really lucky because with my closest girlfriend, we've never been attracted to the same people ever once.
Mm.
Me
neither.
Yeah. You and I are attracted to the same people sometimes.
But me and any friends that I've thought of in the past that have been single with me, like,
right.
It's never been a thing where we're like, I mean, I'm not honestly a boy crazy person, so I'm never like, oh my God. But
yeah.
I kind of am more now, I would say. But
break this down for me, though.
What?
Does it make me jealous or egotistical if I would feel really uncomfortable if there was someone that I just maybe hooked up with one time?
Mm-hmm.
Very casually, and it never went anywhere. And then my close friend ended up getting with that guy, and it made me uncomfortable. Am I even allowed to be uncomfortable in that situation? I've heard so many opinions on this.
Yeah. What's my opinion on that? I think that it's tricky because, again, I just think it's a wire crossed that's like, just feels weird. And so I understand why you feel that it's weird, because it just feels like you and your friend have entered the same territory with someone that's like, I don't want to say sacred or anything, because kissing a dude isn't a big deal, but at the same time, it's just weird.
But what about if you forked?
Okay, that's tricky.
Right?
But then on the flip side, and I guess I'm playing devil's advocate by saying this, but it's like, if you didn't want to be with him,
that's always the other side of conversation.
Yeah, it's like, if you guys weren't into each other, then I just don't like it. I can understand to a certain extent both sides, but my personal way of moving and going about it at this point is like, no. It's just, if it complicates anything, then I don't want it.
The only way that I personally would ever move forward with this is if I had the extreme gut feeling this is like my life partner or something. Yeah. And it was something extremely unserious, maybe a long time ago, between that person and someone I knew. But for myself, I reserve it for a very particular scenario like that, because...
But then we get into tiers of friends. And like, what tier of friends is able to pull that card on you?
Like...
Yes, that's exactly who I'm thinking of.
If she dated somebody that I've hooked up with once a couple years ago, I would not care at all.
Okay.
But if did... Yeah. I would be so uncomfortable.
Yeah. Fair enough. So I think that's really what it comes down to in a lot of ways, is like closeness.
I think it's intimacy of the friendship.
Yeah.
Because I've probably shared all my intimate details about that experience with my friend.
Yeah.
And then to know that that person is having their own intimate experience with that same person, and then I feel like talking about it with them then would be so strange for me.
Yeah, you're like, so how was it for you?
Yeah. And with somebody who was a little bit farther off that I wasn't emotionally invested in.
Yeah.
In that same way.
Yeah.
I don't think it would hit me like that.
Yeah. I think that's really what it comes down to. That's a big part of the equation, is intimacy of that friendship and that relationship and closeness of it, because there are tiers of people that are in your life. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So
that's another mixed bag.
Which I'm honestly curious if anyone wants to weigh in.
I was going to say, if anyone has a really strong opinion on that very much so differs from ours, let's hear it, because that's fun.
Yeah, I'm down. I'm down for that.
Okay. This is very savage in my opinion.
What?
But I'm going to say it anyways.
What?
If someone asks you, if a girl asks you if she looks good or if she looks okay, and you don't think she does, what do you say?
Oh my God. That's a nightmarish situation.
Right?
Yeah.
It also depends on, does she have time to change?
Yeah. I think I generally err on the side of being honest.
Yeah.
But I'll tell you this much, not to keep bringing it back to this, but the closer I am with you, the more honest I'm going to be, for sure. I try my best to be honest. I find in some relationships, it's a little bit more daunting, the thought of being honest, you know, when maybe that trust isn't there or something like that. But again, if they're asking me in like a vulnerable moment, like, do you like my outfit or do I look good?
I want to hug the imaginary person.
I know. But here's the thing is that it's never, my response is never, no, you look like shit, of course.
Oh, duh.
It's always redirecting. So
yeah,
like,
you do that to me a lot.
So like, but I don't do it. It's not like I'm like, okay, I need to redirect in this moment instead of being rude. It's just, I'll see what I like and then I'll identify what I don't like and I'll be like, let's figure out an alternative to this. Or let's like throw your hair up like this and put this earring on and take that off and put this on. Let's try and see what this looks like. You know what I mean? So I try to be, instead of being just straight up like, nah, it doesn't work for me, giving people solutions so that they feel like they're not just kind of left out to be like, okay, I look like shit and I don't know where to go from here. You know what I mean?
Yeah, you are really solution oriented in this realm now that I think about how you deal with me. I think part of it too could be about, like you said, how well do you know this person and how well do you feel they take feedback?
Yes, that's so true.
Because if you know someone well enough and you know they're really uncomfortable with feedback, they're not gracious, it's probably in everyone's best interest to just let it roll and not say anything. But if someone is not that egotistical and really just kind of playfully or gently asking, what do you think? I think there's a little more freedom there to let it rip.
That's so true.
This kind of ties back into what we were talking about earlier, but what if someone's like, I have concerns about my man or my partner, whoever. What do you think? Because that goes back to the inserting yourself into someone's relationship dynamic, even if they're asking, though. And if you do have strong opinions about it, that makes it even harder.
Well, listen, I want to build, and I don't know that I have fully in all of my relationships, even with myself, but I want to build really ironclad trust with the people in my life where they know if they come to me, they're going to get a loving, honest response.
Yeah.
That takes into consideration everybody's point of view. Like, I don't want anyone to ever come to me and think that I'm going to, ultimately what it comes back to for me is I'm done in life looking for things that are wrong with people and with myself.
Yeah.
I'm tired of that.
Yeah.
I want to look for the right in people and I want to look for the good in the world. And ultimately I want to look for the good in myself. And so I think that in those kinds of scenarios, like, first of all, I want there to be general trust in my relationships where people know that when they come to me, I'm not going to be looking for something wrong in them or their partner. I'm going to be looking for the right. Like, I'm going to be trying to find the silver lining and the glass half full and like the wonderful parts of what they're talking to me about. But that trust can only be built, like those kinds of ironclad relationships and communicative relationships can only be built through honest communication. And that sometimes means straight shooting and maybe saying something that, for me, I try my best at this point in life to not give my opinion as much as just asking hard questions that kind of lead someone to their own conclusion about something. Yeah, you know totally. What I mean?
Same.
And so I think that like that's kind of my way to go about it is it gets really tricky. Like in interpersonal relationships, when you're brought in as a friend to give advice or just hold space or be a friend, finding the line of caring, but also knowing that like, it's not yours to hold, kind of. That's hard for me. Like in my personal relationships, I care a lot.
Yeah.
And so it ultimately, like, it's a practice for me to pull back my emotional landscape from situations and just know that, like, I love this person and I trust them and they're going to do what's best for them. And I'm going to be there every step of the way. You know what I mean? And like, there definitely is scenarios. Again, I said earlier that I try not to give unsolicited advice because it's gotten me in a lot of trouble in life. But there are scenarios where if you see your loved one with a major blind spot that maybe conflicts with where I know that they're trying to move towards in life, or they're trying to move away from a certain type of thinking, a certain type of acting, a certain type of relationship, and they're maybe engaging in that activity without really knowing, and I feel like it's super detrimental to them, maybe I'll step in. But, and then of course you hit the level where like if God forbid your loved one's being abused in any way by their partner, you know, like you step in. But I try my best to, I just want to create spaces and relationships where people know that I'm going to be honest, but that I'm also not looking for negatives, because I'm not. Like, I want to love my people. I want to love their partners and that. So what's your opinion on it? Like, how do you handle those types of situations?
I think the older I've gotten, the more I realize that other people's life choices are not my business, and other people don't want to be living the same life that I want to live. Mm-hmm. Other people have the right to have their own priorities and their own, make their own decisions. And at a certain point, you just have to choose if your friendships are aligning with you or not.
Mm-hmm.
I think if you are committed to your friendship, you're going to ultimately have to have hard conversations with your friends, especially if you stay friends with them for a long time. You know, mm-hmm. there are challenges that arise. I'm similar in that I try to focus on giving my friends space to come to their own conclusions and try to reinforce the fact that they're safe to talk to me. I'm not going to judge them. And mm-hmm. ultimately, they know that I want what's best for them. And they know that even if they make a decision that ultimately hurts them, they can still come back and talk to me after that. So I think my priority is always, if I am committed to a friendship and I've told myself this is a very important relationship to me in my life, then my angle is always, how do I make this person feel safe to express themselves fully in their experience while also knowing that no matter what decision they're going to make, I'm still going to be there for them.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't have to worry about my judgment. That doesn't mean that I'll never be honest about my concerns, but I do think that it's actually very rare that I vocalize my concerns with my friends, because I do think that that can become a wedge really quickly.
Yeah,
and if you utilize that practice too much, it ends up inadvertently becoming what feels like judgment to them, or what feels like something that would make them afraid to come and admit whatever's really going on to you. So yeah, I think that I really err on the side of caution. I don't try to overstep with my opinions. And when I'm committed to a friendship, I just try to give people as much space to come to me and share what they feel comfortable sharing. And yeah, just know that I'm going to be there. I know life is messy and I'm not scared of it being messy either.
Yeah.
I'm not scared of being in the trenches with people. I'm not scared of seeing people be in the trenches. I have a bit of a savior complex, so I want my people to be okay. But at the same time, I am comfortable enough working through hard times with people.
Yeah, definitely. I definitely think you're right, though, about giving advice or your opinion too much ultimately does come off as judgment, especially if you're not asked.
Yeah.
And so just like creating an environment where that person knows that they're, no matter what, they're safe to come talk to you, even if they fuck up 50 times. Like you could be friends with that person your entire life and they could, you've seen them through all these different relationships and they, you know, quote unquote, keep making the same mistake by their own terms of being like, I keep engaging with this same type of guy or whatever it is. And like they could do that 20 more times. And I want them to still know that they can come to me and we can, like, I'm there. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And I do think that it's within your right as an individual to, if somebody's life decisions feel so toxic to you and so misaligned with your heart. And I mean, especially like morally and their value systems and stuff. And if it feels really misaligned and you're seeing patterned behavior that feels like it brings you to a place where you're not fully healthy, evaluate that, you know, evaluate that for yourself. And you don't need to blame somebody else for their behavior because you're not going to be able to change them. But you get to make a decision as an adult for your own life, whether this friendship or relationship serves you, whether it makes you feel like your best self, whether it feeds you or if it's constantly depleting you. Like, you get to reflect on that in your own time and choose what to invest in. And I think a lot of the times we blame our friends and we just want them to, if you fix this, then we'd all feel better. We're all so stressed because of you. And it's like, well, if you're that stressed because of somebody else, you need to evaluate whether the dynamic is serving you in general. You're not going to be able to make that person change.
No. I wasn't even thinking about it from that angle, actually. I was thinking about it more from the angle of like girls that get with super unavailable guys, or, you know, kind of certain patterns that happen of like...
You're talking about like dating patterns a lot.
Yes.
Because we were talking, we started this question talking about if someone was asking you about their partner and
yeah,
had concerns.
But 100%, if you feel like someone's in your life and their energy... like whatever they're engaging in, especially if it's morally off with what you feel like you're on, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Definitely have to evaluate.
How about with girl code, say in the workplace, if you're in a position to hire people and you're a woman, mm-hmm. You identify as a woman, is it your obligation to uplift other women over anyone else?
Yeah. I think so.
I do too.
I think so.
Me too. I've done it personally.
I'm sure you have.
I have. No, I've had candidates that were all really qualified. I'm not saying I would uplift somebody who had absolutely no skills or showed no potential or no dedication or anything like that.
Yeah.
But I have favored women, absolutely. Uplifting women.
And I think that's what it comes down to, is if you have a bunch of candidates that are similar in terms of their qualifications.
Yeah.
Am I choosing a woman over a man?
Yeah. Me too.
Unless I got like an awful, awful vibe in an interview.
Well, of course. Yeah. That's what I'm saying. If you detect extreme toxicity or lack of dedication or lack of motivation or entitlement or certain things that would contribute really negatively to your workplace mm-hmm. and would really mess up the energy of your workplace, that's important just on a human level. You want to work with and be around people who are good-hearted.
Yeah.
So if someone's not good-hearted, you know. But
I work with only women right now.
I work with almost only women too.
It's pretty epic.
Yeah.
I actually don't have that much experience working with men. Because I worked retail in college,
mm-hmm.
and I worked with some men. Most of them were gay men, though.
Mm-hmm.
So they had that like amazing femme energy kind of,
A
lot of them.
Emotional intelligence.
Exactly. And then I graduated college, and my boss is a woman, and we pretty much only have women in the office for the most part.
I worked with men a lot. I actually worked primarily with men.
Oh, really?
For the entire start of my career, yes. There was only one other woman in the office for almost a year, I want to say.
How was that? Tell us about it.
I mean, she and I weren't best friends or anything. We were fine. But I will say one of the best working relationships I've had to date was after years of working under men. There was this woman who was hired above me, and she ended up being my manager at a certain point, stepping in and being my manager. And it was so good for my career and for my confidence building in the workplace. And we got super tight. Mm. And I mean, part of it was because I genuinely wanted to learn from her. I had a lot of respect for her, and my intention was never to undermine her or make her feel like we were, like I was trying to take anything from her or like we were majorly competing with each other. I had a lot of respect for her and for her career path. And I really wanted to learn from her. We did have one situation in the beginning of working together.
I remember
where she overstepped.
She took credit for something that you did.
She did. She took credit for something that I did to a client. And it was a big client and a big deal. And it was something that I was really nervous about doing in the first place. I did it and I did it well. And I was really proud of myself. And she took credit for it out loud in front of the client. And I was really taken aback because I had a lot of respect for her. And I decided ultimately to say something to her in private. I called her and I was just like, hey, that was really hurtful and disrespectful and unprofessional. And luckily, I was speaking to someone who was emotionally intelligent and didn't let her ego get the best of her. And so she said to me, you're so right. And I'm going to go back and tell the client there was a misunderstanding. If you need any more help on this at all, go to Carly. You know, she's really your point person, whatever. And from that point on, we had a whole different level of respect because she respected me for speaking up for myself, but professionally and kindly. I was not rude or angry or harsh. I was clear, but respectful. And I respected her for taking my feedback so gracefully and then writing her wrong. Mm-hmm. And so we just built this really strong friendship and working relationship, which led me honestly to where I am now. She really teed me up to be where I am now in my career and was an amazing resource. And I do feel like a huge part of that was how much we could relate to each other as being women in a primarily male-dominated workspace. And we did a lot to help each other. And I always felt like I wanted to, you know, pay that back to the next person coming up that I might be in a position to help.
Yeah. So, but I feel like that level of respect and that kind of closeness in a relationship often can't be reached without having those kinds of hard conversations. Mm-hmm. Like we've talked about a million times. And I think as women in the workplace for sure, and this is changing, I definitely see this changing in terms of even just the generations that are coming up of women, but we're kind of taught to just shut the fuck up and not say what's on our mind. I feel like it's encouraged, not to be a broken record, because I feel like I see this all over the internet and stuff, but men are encouraged to be strong and speak up for themselves. And that's mm-hmm. how they advocate for themselves. That's a lot of people say, well, women don't get paid as much as men because men ask for more. You know what I mean? And I don't know the validity of that. I've seen discourse back and forth on the matter, but regardless, I do know from just being a human being in this world that men are largely encouraged to speak their minds and to be strong and to be firm and stuff. And I just don't see that as something that women are largely encouraged to do, or they were in the past. And I think we're catching up, you know?
Yeah.
But those kinds of conversations are hard and scary. And
they are.
You feel like, am I going to come off as a bitch? Like, am I going to this? Am I going to that? And
all of those personal thoughts and worry about needing to belong in a place and not wanting to jeopardize belonging. But when it's in the workplace, not wanting to jeopardize your financial well-being, like how far is someone going to take it if I call someone out, essentially?
So true.
How much are they going to retaliate on me? Like in this world, I can't lose my job. You know, people can't afford to lose their livelihoods like that. And so a lot of people will err on the side of caution and not stand up for themselves. And I understand that. I fully understand that. But I think that that's been a big focus for me in so many realms of my life, is learning how to communicate effectively, but respectfully.
Mm-hmm.
That's a really important practice for me. And it's been coming up time and again in every part of my life, in my friendships, in my workplace, all the time, all the time, in really difficult situations where you're with people who are really good at their jobs and very much so have an angle and very much so have something that they want and need out of the situation and have every intention of getting what they want and need out of a situation. And for you to figure out how to meet that force with clarity and strength, but also grace and respect, it's a skill. And it takes practice, but it's been really pulling through for me in my life in so many different areas recently.
Hell yeah. Me too, but in different ways. I feel like my self-worth practice recently has largely been based on advocating for myself and speaking up about what I need.
Yeah.
And that goes across the board and just talking in general and being honest with myself and with others about where I'm at and what I need and what I don't need and this, that, and the other. But
yeah,
we're making some progress over here, guys.
We are.
For better or for worse, we're moving right along. Actually, for better or for better, we're moving right along.
Always for better.
Yeah.
We're down bad with Cubs farts, but we're on the move towards
we're on the
reparations.
We're on the up with communication, but she's currently hotboxing us in this house right now. So, yeah. Help. Send help.
I think that's it. Yeah, I'm sure that there are a million different angles of the girl code that we did not think about. But if anyone wants to give us other scenarios of what we think, that would be interesting. I want to hear your opinions.
I can't wait till we have like a little bit of a following so that we can ask people like,
aww,
what do you think? Or like, what do you want to hear?
We love our five friends that listen to this.
Obsessed. Obsessed.
Well, if our five friends want to weigh in, please weigh in.
Por favor.
Okay, well, I love you.
Love you.
Thanks for hanging out with us.
You're the best.
Bye.
Love you. Bye.